affect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all give Palmetto Street Praise a big hand.
Privileged to be here with you guys this morning. I hope you get a blessing out of our songs, and pray that the Lord will anoint us and let his blessings and anointing flow through us to you. There's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord and feeling that Holy Spirit. Pray for us as we sing. One more valley that I've got to go through, and I'm leaving my trouble behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. Had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. When I'm standing alone and the battle gets hard, I always do the best I can. I must across a million valleys, shed about a million tears. When I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, I will have no fear. I will have no fear. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I've got to go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. Been a lot of people talking about me since I walked this narrow way, but that's just another little valley. I came through it when I prayed. Climbed a lot of high mountains, crossed a lot of little streams, but when I see old Jordan cold and dark, that'll be the last for me. That'll be the last for me. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I've got to go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I've got to go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand, holding to his nail-scarred hand.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we forget what's waiting on us on the other side of that Jordan River, that beautiful place called heaven that he's created where there's no problems at all. The older I get, the more I look forward to it. I'm telling you, I do. Little one, you see me after church, and I'll get you a hat. You look like you'd like to wear one of those hats back there. Those hats are a good way to witness for the Lord. You know, if nothing else, somebody will look at that hat and say, what does that hat say? Oh, a firm believer in Christ. And it reminds them of Christ, because the world is trying to flood our minds with anything it can to take the cross of Calvary out of our forethoughts. Amen? Even the kids, you look at those games that they're on all the constantly, all the time. You don't ever see anything about Jesus coming in there. And those word searches and your, what is it called, the pre-fill on your texting, you never see Jesus or God come up in there. It'd always be some other word. That's on purpose. They do that on purpose. We want to sing one for you. And Sister Kathleen Madden here, she's from Gray Court, South Carolina. And she's going to sing this song with me. It's called The Sun's Coming Up in the Morning. Is this loud enough? Is it okay? Once again I face Satan this morning, and I've battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sends reinforcements, and at sundown I'll sing victory song. Oh, the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory. Like an eagle, I'll take to the sky.
In a world filled with doubt, so hard when you don't understand. Oh, but I'll stand on a solid foundation, and I'll hold to that unchanging hand.
Oh, the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory, and like an eagle I'll take to the sky. Oh, the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory, and like an eagle I'll take to the sky. Like an eagle, I'll take to the sky.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, the Lord's so good. Sometimes in this music, you're trying to get all the tracks together, scheduling everything, calling the churches, putting everything on the websites. You get caught up in the work. And I don't want to be caught up in the work. I want to be caught up in the worship. Because that's where I feel the Spirit of the Lord. And that's the reason I sing. I want you guys to feel what I feel. Did a lot of work in the house we had in a basement. And I want you to know when I'd go in that basement, I could feel the presence of the Lord. Man, it was just me and him. And that if you've got any problem at all, the place to be is alone with the Lord. Because when his presence is there, everything is erased. No worries, no cares. You get that feeling he's saying, I've got this. You don't have to worry about it. I'm carrying your burdens. He's so good. He's been so good to me. Brother Benny Taylor, he's been run off from far and wide, but he lives in Florence right now. He's the founder of the group. And I think it's, what, almost 9 years now that the group's been together? Something like that?
9 years.
And want him to sing one. It's called I Know a Man Who Can. Is that okay with you, brother?
No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, I'm serving a God, Brother Wesley, that can take care of it all. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can't take a soul that's sincere, wash it white as snow. Oh, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, I know a man who can. I can't walk upon the waters. I can't calm the raging seas. Oh, but I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open or the lame to walk again. Oh, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, don't know that man this morning, I hope you meet him before you leave this service today. This group is a lot of the time I do the MC, but I asked Brother Kyle, would he do it this morning?
We go a lot of places, have a lot of chance to minister to people. To churches, we go anywhere that God will let us or lead us to go. And one thing that I've always said with this group, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Jesus leading someone to Him. If you don't know the Lord this morning, I hope He touches your heart through some of the songs that we sing. Continue to worship with us this morning.
Sister Kathleen's going to sing another one for you here. It's God on the Mountain. She does a real good job on this one.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the but don't lose faith, for you are never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain and talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations that's where faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
I'm so thankful that He is God in both places. When I was growing up and I was a teenager and going through a little trial, and we all do that when we're teenagers, I would come home to that song playing about 24 hours and hear my mom in the bedroom just praying to that song and holding on to the Lord, that God never changes. You know, it's so easy to serve Him when you're on the mountain. But when the devil's whispering in your ear, like Pastor said, and just saying those little things and makes you want to doubt, just remember that you serve the same God no matter what you're going through.
The Lord's really good, I'm telling you. You can't say enough about His goodness and the way this song went. He's on the mountain. He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. My son was 2 years old, and my wife came to me one night and said, something's wrong with Brian. And she was holding him in his arms, and his eyes, all you could see was the white of his eyes, and he was having some kind of seizure. Man, I'd never seen nothing like that before in my life. That scared me to death. We prayed for him, but nothing happened. And I'm like, well, let's go. Get him to the hospital, get some help or something. So we got in the car, started driving, and he's still over there. Just she's holding on tight. And then I thought about life-saving crew. So we wheeled into there and went in, took him inside, and the station manager was there, but the EMTs were not. And he's still having that seizure. So I asked him, he asked me, he said, can you move your car? The EMTs are on the way back with the ambulance. And I went outside to move the car. And I just looked up. I said, Lord, I said, that baby in there needs your help. And there's nothing I can do. So I moved the car for the ambulance. Went back inside, and he was fine. I had to reach that point that I submitted and laid it all on the altar for him. And he touched that baby. I'll never forget that. Just that one thing, and there's been thousands of things in my life like that he's done. I'll sing his praises. If I die and go to hell, I'll sing his praises in hell. But I don't have to worry about that. He laid his life down on Calvary for me. Took that awful beating. We get tired traveling. Nobody's ever hit me with anything like that. They beat the apostles. Nobody's ever beat me. But we still get tired. I've heard people say, I'm tired. I'm going to throw up my hands and quit. Give up. What are you going to give up? What is there to give up, man? Go back to what? Hell? Man, you think it's bad now. Wait till then. Well, I hope you're happy. I can't see the screen. Praise the Lord is all I can say. I thought it was through with me. I sang in a quartet when I was in high school. And after high school, we just kind of disbanded, everybody going their different ways. 40 years later, I'm sitting at a football field watching the grandkids practice football. Out of the blue, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to start singing again. And I'm like, well, man, where is this coming from? And I prayed about it, and I'd sing at church every once in a while, but it was just ever once in the blue moon. And the morning of the third day, and I've told this before, and there's something special about that third day. I saw in a vision some sheet music, of all things, where the words were written. It said, follow your spirit. And when I realized what it was, I was reading, I heard in my right ear, just plain as day, follow your spirit. And that was at the end of 2016. So I started singing again because he asked me to. My mama said, why did you wait so long? I said, Mama, I'm not pulling the strings. You have to wait on that calling. And you wait on the Lord. Sometimes you get anxious and try to step out on your own and you mess up. But when it's ordained by God, it's ordained by God. I think I can just about see the screen now. Oh, man, I don't know whether this next song is going to help any at all. But this is a song that you sing to the Lord once you learn this song. It's called Daystar. I don't know if anybody's ever heard Daystar or not. It's been out, I think, since, didn't they say, the 80s? And I just heard it not too long ago. Fell in love with it. Oh, he's so wonderful. Now, I think where I could be and where my family could be. I've got I could stand up here and tell you those stories for hours. But I'm not. I'm going to try to sing some so we get here where we can see. Daystar. Of 10,000, make me a reflection of your life. Daystar, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. You can take what's wrong in me and make it right. Daystar, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit, groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes, Lord, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your words speak to me, show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I long to be your witness, 'cause you can take what's wrong in me and make it right. Daystar, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Daystar, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. If you don't know the Lord, I pray that sometime in this service you get to know him. These altars are always open. Anytime you see any of us singing anywhere, the altars are open. That little voice that you hear, you need to get right with the Lord. You need to pay attention to that voice. That is a life-changing voice. We were at a church one day. Young lady came in. You could tell she was on drugs, a drug addict. Just this gray looking and down, head down. At the end of the service, she came up and she said, I've got to have something different. This life, I've ruined it. It's not working. I want to give my life to the Lord. 30 minutes later, after the service, I saw her in the parking lot. And she was shining like the morning sun. It was a miracle. A miracle. It didn't even look like the same little girl. But he's a powerful God. He still works today just like he worked then. I've told these guys, I said, you know, when you go to church, you don't ever know what you're going to see, what miracle's going to take place. You might not reach 1,000, but you might reach the one that reaches 1,000. You never know. Just like the one that Billy Graham, they led Billy Graham to the Lord. Look how many people he reached, just for an example. But I think we'll sing one more, and then, brother, we'll turn it over to you. I think we're on the right time schedule there. We'll sing this one. Not the one I'm wanting to sing. Wrapped up again. That's what I'm looking for. This song, Brother Benny's wife wrote this next song. It's kind of an upbeat song, and she don't even sing and wrote a song. But it turned out to be pretty good. I like it. Wrapped up in him.
I'm wrapped in grace and mercy. Jesus Christ is the living Word, the Holy One, the true One, alive forevermore. I am rich, I am wrapped up in Him.
Because I'm wrapped up in Him, I have power to obey His commandments. I have power to be strong. In troubled times, I can eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. I'm wrapped up in Him.
I'm wrapped in grace and mercy. Jesus Christ is the living Word, the Holy One, the true One, alive forevermore. I am rich. I am wrapped up in Him.
He is the One who was and is to come, the Almighty. I am wrapped up in Him. He conquered death, did not grow weary. I'll shout it out loud. I'll be clothed in white and live forevermore.
I'm wrapped up in Him. I'm wrapped in grace and mercy. Jesus Christ is the living Word, the Holy One, the true One, alive forevermore. I am rich, I am wrapped up in Him. Yes, I'm wrapped up in Him. I'm wrapped in grace and mercy. Jesus Christ is the living Word, the Holy One, the true One, alive forevermore. I am rich, I am wrapped up in Him. The Holy One, the true One, alive forevermore. I am rich, I am wrapped up in Him.
Amen. Brother?
Thank y'all so much, Brother Kyle and Brother Benny and Sister Kathleen. Catherine. Yeah. I know that several people had asked me if I was going to let them sing the whole service, and I had planned on originally, but the Lord kind of changed my mind just a little bit, and I know that Mona was handing out some stuff for y'all, and y'all might feel a little slighted, but Mona was handing out some sheets to y'all, some worksheets, and guess what? That's our Christmas present to you. Amen? Say, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mona. Amen? Now, I told you was going to get some homework, and you are. What you can do when you get home, if you'll take these and trim around the edges, okay, the lines. Now, when you do that, be sure the part that you're going to draw pictures on, cut that bottom line there because they don't quite match on the back, so you don't cut off the back. Amen? Now, then, if you're not challenged as I am, you can probably figure out how to fold it on them lines. Now, you see what I got? Now, how many of you got a Bible? When you got a Bible, you can put this in your Bible as a bookmarker and don't ever say, I cannot share the gospel with somebody because I don't know how. Amen? Because you will be able to share the gospel. When we look at what's going on in the world, when we look at what is going on in the news, Facebook, wherever you'll be, like Brother Kyle was saying a while ago, we realize that things is all messed up. And when we look at them being messed up, and I'm not throwing off on political parties here, I'll say it two ways. I'll say it the first way for 4 years ago, make America great again, and then I'll say parties changed and now they're going to build back better. Now let me tell you something about America. You can never make America better. You can never build it back better. You can never make it great again until you make the church great again. Till you build the church back better, you're never going to make anything else better. Now, how do we do that? We lead people to Jesus. We give them an opportunity to come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, 47 days to Christmas and 18 days, I believe, to Thanksgiving. I'm hoping some of y'all have got some friends and some family that y'all going to be visiting with. Have you? If not, I'll try to figure out something so y'all can come eat with us or something, okay? Amen. Now, how many of y'all have got lost family members or friends? They need the gospel. It's that important. And you say, well, why? Here's as Christians, we often think, well, they should come to church. They know better. But look what this says in Psalm 53. I'm going to start in the third line there because that's where the verse actually starts. It says, a second line, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's anyone who understands, anyone who seeks after God. Now, Psalm 53, verses 1 through 6, quotes Psalm 14. Paul, in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 12, quotes both those psalms again. Guess what Paul says? There's none righteous. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. Together they have all turned aside. Together they've all become useless. There is none good, no, not one. Why did God send Jesus to this earth? Because he looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there was any that was good. And guess what? Every one of them had turned aside. Together they'd become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. Have the workers of wickedness no knowledge? Who eat up my people as though they are bread and have not called upon God. Jesus come to live the life we should have lived. Jesus come to live under the rule of God. Jesus come to be our substitute, die the death we deserved. Jesus come to live die and be buried for our transgressions, Romans 4, verse 25 says, to be raised for our justification. Hey, when you believe in Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection, you've got a receipt that says paid in full, innocent, acquitted. Guess where I'm going? Heaven. But here's the good news. You can experience heaven on earth by walking with Christ daily. Now, when we talk to our loved ones and when we're talking to people, one of the favorite verses during Christmas time is the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Always read verse 17. It says, for God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came in a manger to save the world. Jesus is coming back riding on a white stallion, and he's going to judge everybody that hasn't believed in him. When? Don't know today, but I know it's soon. This is an important message for all of us. More and more lately, I have done more funerals for friends that I have seen come to Christ in the last 3 or 4 years. Do you know, when I do a service like that, it's a lot easier if you know where they're going to spend eternity. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and I'll try to get through this because I had some more scripture. I usually just stay to one paragraph, but what I want to do this morning, because I know y'all like to hear preaching, amen? And y'all like good preaching, right? Well, Brother James, come on up here and help me out. No, what I want to talk to you about is two ways to live. I want to talk to you about the message of the Bible so you can understand the Bible. Nobody uses the Bible anymore. If they're looking for something, they're liable to Google a verse. But just don't open up the Bible and write in it and do something with it. When we're witnessing to people, when we're sharing that God on the mountain is the God in the valley, we need to open up the Bible and be able to show them where it's at. The Bible message is simple. It's this simple. 6 pictures on a napkin can summarize God's message to a messed up world. 6 simple pictures that you can draw while you are eating supper or drinking coffee with somebody will summarize the 16 books of the Bible. Now, I want to talk to you about two ways to live. Now, I want you to think about how in the Bible things begin. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Amen? God existed before anything existed. On the first day, He created light. You say, well, I didn't think that he hung the stars to the fourth day. He didn't. When God spoke things into being, the glory of God lit creation. Amen? And then he put the sky together, the earth and the vegetation, the stars and the moon on the fifth day, the fish on the sixth day, the living creatures. And then what did he do? Created man. He created man, and he looked at what he had created, and he said it was very good. And then chapter 7 says, and on the seventh day he rested. God created us in his image to be image bearers, to be witnesses of who God is. If you remember what happened then, he put them in the garden, told them that they could eat from every tree in the garden except for the tree of good and evil. He put them in the garden for a purpose. Two, it says, cultivate and keep. It says in chapter 2, verse 15. Now, our English translation says cultivate. So you think, yes, so you got to be tilling the garden. You got to be taking care of keeping it. Look, that word keep also means keep the law, keep the instruction of God. That word cultivate, a better translation of that is worship. Brother Kyle was talking a while ago about work and worship. Guess what? When God created heaven and earth and put Adam and Eve in the garden before sin, work was not hard. Work was worship. God had given them everything they needed. All they had to do was keep God's instructions, and everything would have went smooth. Things don't go smooth today because what? We have corrupted our worship of God. Now, I want to walk through this real fast. And if you don't get to draw these pictures, there's ink pens in front of you on the pew. If you don't get to draw these pictures, I got some down here already drawn. You just pick them up down here after church and take them home with you. But I want you to learn to be able to tell people about Jesus this Thanksgiving and Christmas. Amen? There's no greater gift than sharing the gospel with somebody. I got to tell you the importance of this. I was called to be a preacher. I'd been saved about 10 years. And I was like, well, Lord, I know I misunderstood that, right? And then, as I was, and I'd witnessed to people, and you know, just nobody had ever come to Christ. I'd witnessed and witnessed and witnessed, and I'll never forget. I asked this guy one time in Arizona in a Walmart parking lot. I said, well, you got to make a decision. I'd been witnessing to this boy for months, right? And his life was just a wreck. Still, you know, he'd do good out of town. We'd get in town. I couldn't find him. I said, you got to make a decision. Are you going to trust Jesus or are you going to hell? He's like, well, that's a little harsh. And I'm like, well, you got to know. I said, what, don't you believe? He said, no, I believe you believe, but I just don't believe. So fast forward, I'm going to school, and I'm in church one Sunday morning. The preacher's preaching here in North Carolina, and he gives the invitation. I come down to the altar, and I just said, Lord, I must be wrong. You must want me to do something else. I witnessed and witnessed, and nobody comes to you. I don't know why you want me to be a preacher. I can't even lead nobody to you on the street. Lord, if you want me to do this, let me see somebody get saved. We left church, and when we pulled up in my mother-in-law's yard to eat, everybody else went inside. I thought about a friend, and I called his number and was going to try to share Christ with him. Guess what? Him and his son had swapped their phones that day. His son answered the phone. I said, hello. And I said, is so-and-so there? And he said, no, this is, and I knew him. He said, I got his phone. So I went ahead and shared the gospel with him. He prayed and received Christ on the phone right then. 19-year-old boy. Little did I know in less than 5 years I'd preach his funeral. Sharing the gospel determines where the people hear the good news about where they're going to spend eternity. So this is the purpose of this. This is the greatest gift you're going to give anybody this year. So first of all, I want you to draw a crown. I know that don't look like a crown. Mike and Brother James draw a lot better than I do. That is a crown. Who wears a crown? A king, right? Jesus is the loving ruler of the world. I don't care what nobody says. You know, we used to talk about the Romans Road, and we'd say, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know our children don't even know what the glory of God is? The glory of God is His renown, it's His character, it's His majesty, it's His splendor. God created everything. It belongs to Him. God created the world. So draw a world. I know it's a little lopsided, but hey, this is, hey, you can draw this on a napkin. Amen? He created the world. Everything you see. Guess what? He created us. We didn't just happen to be. God created us. Now, He created us to rule the world. He told Adam and Eve to subdue and rule the world, but they are to rule under God's rule. Do you know all this fussing back and forth about different leaders? The only problem is God ain't leading them. You know the problem in our homes? God's not leading us. God's got to be first. David was the king of Israel, God's people, and he even said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or shall not lack. God's got to be in control. Now, when you get them folded, if you'll look on the back, right behind that, I got you a Bible verse. The Bible verse says this in Romans 4:11, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they were created and they exist, or they existed and were created. In other words, in the mind of God, God created everything to display His glory in. Amen? I didn't want you to think, I know you've heard the gospel before, that I'm just saying this. Now, that comes out of Revelation. You say, well, I thought you was in Genesis. Guess what? It's going to be a quick sermon. I'm just preaching from the index to the maps. Amen? But let me give you this idea so you get a picture of this. When Adam and Eve was tempted by Satan, Satan said and deceived her, did God really say? In other words, is that really what God said? And then He told her that if she would eat from the tree of good and evil, she would be wise like God. She could be God herself. She saw it was good. It was pretty, good for eating, and took and ate from it. Sin entered the world, and then it says that God saw and said, what if they reach out their hand and take from the tree of life and live forever? So He cast them out of the garden. Here's the good news. God loved us so much, He didn't leave them in the garden to live forever in their sin. Death entered the world so that through death, life could be given to us again. When John in chapter 4 says, behold, I looked and saw a door open in heaven, and He goes into heaven. That's what they was doing in heaven, singing, worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive all glory, honor, and power, because You created all things, and because of Your will they existed, and they were created. Now that ought to be a song, brother. They were singing that song. Guess what? There was the Garden of Eden. How many of y'all ever thought, I wish things were still like they were in the garden? The dew comes up in the morning. I'm walking with God. I'd be like Enoch and was not. Right? Guess what? One day you can be. It says He cast them out to the east. Do you know why all the tombstones is facing east in the graveyard? Because our ancestors expected Jesus to be coming from the east, so that we could raise up and we could see Him, because He's going back to the Garden City and we're going to follow Him. You ever thought about that? Till we got in the last generation, people expected Jesus to come back any minute. It's going to be a new Garden City, and it's called heaven. So, let me ask you this. God's in control. Humanity's living and ruling the world under God's rule. Is that the way it is today? No. Everything's messed up. You just turn on the news for 30 minutes. So, what's wrong? We all reject God. We all decide we want to live life our own way, like Eve. We want to be our own king. My grandson used to say this, and I've told y'all before, I'd tell him to do something, he'd look at me. You're not the boss of me. And that Thomas fury would build up. Amen. And I'm like, who told you that? And he said, Grandma. He knew how to pit us against each other. Amen. But deep down, isn't that the way we are? We don't like to be told what to do. And we step out under the rule of God by redefining what God calls certain things. We redefine or make excuses for why we're not as bad as we seem. Paul says it this way. These verses is behind there so that you can just read these verses. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. Who understands that God created everything. God gets the glory. God's in control. We got control over our lives, but it's under God's control. He said, none understand. Guess what? None seeks for God. We're not looking for God. You know, people say, yeah, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. Jesus found you. Jesus found me. It was through His word in that song. Somebody called me yesterday and said, Miss Sylvia Butler told me that she come talk to you once. I said, I wouldn't be saved today probably if God hadn't used Miss Sylvia Butler to talk to me. You know what? She knocked on my door, and I really didn't feel like seeing anybody that morning. She just come walking right in, and she says, I just want to tell you about my God, the God on the mountains, the God in the valley. And Miss Sylvia went into telling me all the tough times in her life and how God had saw him through her, not the good times. And I'm like, well, this is really encouraging. It's what I was thinking. She's telling me everything never went wrong. And the more she talked, the more I realized something. I said, Lord, I don't know what she has, but I don't have enough love in me to go and tell somebody everything that I've messed up. She put me to thinking there's more to Christianity than what I understood. And it won't very long through reading the Bible, and I've said this, and when I got to John chapter 10, I realized my problem was I wasn't saved. I'd asked Jesus to forgive me, make me not feel so bad about what I was doing, but I'd never asked him to take control of my life. Here, Paul says that there's none who understands, none who seeks for God. He says, look, all have turned aside together. They've become useless. There's none who does good. There's not even one. We have to let people know that God created everything. It belongs to him. He created us to live under his rule. When our lives is messed up, the first thing we need to look at is who's in control, us or God. Who we trusting in, God or a program, God or a politician, God or our bank account, God or our house, God or our job. Who are we trusting? We have to remember and think about this. What will God do about this rebellion? The Bible tells us that God will not let us rebel forever. So you draw that. God will not let us rebel forever. Guess what happens? We will die. We're spiritually separated from God. And if we leave this earth without trusting in Jesus, we'll be spiritually and physically separated from God for all eternity. Hebrews 9:27 says, and inasmuch as it was appointed for men to die once, after this comes the judgment. The decisions we make on this side of the grave determines our destiny throughout eternity. So God does not allow us to rebel. The Bible says it this way. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Guess what? I don't care who you are, who your grandparents are, where you come from, all have sinned against God. And the Bible says the wage of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Now, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? That's not a message that really cheers people up. God's judgment sounds hard, but God is holy. Sin cannot come into God's presence. The sermon I was going to preach today was about God's wrath, but I want you to take this and share this biblical worldview with all your family and friends. It sounds hard, and it would be, but it's not the end of the story. Here, because of God's love, he sent his son, the man Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus came into the world and always lived under God's rule. Yet by dying in our place, he took our punishment and Jesus brought us forgiveness. 1 Peter 3:18 says it this way, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So draw this right there. You crown the world. Christ come into the world. Draw his arms stretched out. He come to what? Die for our sins. We talk about Christ being born in the manger. Christ came by the manger and left by the cross. There was never a doubt in Jesus' mind when he was born, that he did not come as a sacrifice for our sins. He was fully God and fully man. Put G over there, J over there for Jesus. Peter also says that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on a cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. But that's not the end of the story. God raised Jesus to life again as ruler of the world. Put a J up there in the crown. Draw it like that. Tell everybody, guess what? Jesus wants to save you from your sins. But if he saves you, he wants to be the ruler of your life also. You can't have Jesus as Savior and not have Him as Lord. What does that mean? He's going to give you a new life, a resurrected life. It begins right now. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." When we get saved, immediately our eternal life starts. But if God has given us a new life, do you think He wants us to live it the old way? He wants us to live under His rule. We take control of my life. You know one thing that you can always say no matter what somebody does to you? I'm going to do it God's way. That's one freedom that nobody can ever take away from you. You got to do what I say. No, I don't. I can do what God says. What's the worst thing can happen to you? They execute you. But guess what? You'll be with Jesus. Right? That's the freedoms we have if He is truly the ruler and the Lord of our life. 1 Peter 1:3 says it this way, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope." That living hope means to be waiting through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're waiting for our heavenly abode, our heavenly home, but while we wait, we get to experience life with Christ here on this earth. So this brings us to a close here, and this is important. After you've shared the story of the Bible with a friend or family member, you just challenge them. Two ways to live. You got to make a choice. If you go to buy a car, what happens? The salesman's always wanting to close the deal, right? When you share the gospel with someone, you need to let them know that decisions we make today determines our destiny tomorrow and into eternity. A, you can live life your way. I mean, if you want to, you can reject God. You can try to run life your own way. Yet by trying to run life your own way, you'll fail to rule yourself, society, or the world. It just tickles me to see these people on the news talking about how they're going to fix the climate, how they're going to do this and they're going to do that. If God ain't got control of their life, they surely ain't going to fix everything that's been messed up for all these years. Amen? And they think they can. You know why people want to fix the climate? Because they haven't read 1 Peter, where Peter says everything's going to get burned up. Is the world getting hotter? Yeah, it's going to get real hot. I know I'm picking a little bit here, but if you think about it, if God's not in control over your life and you're running your life your own way, you're going to keep doing things that you think's going to be best for you. God created you, and only God knows what's best for you. So if you choose your way, here's the result. You're condemned by God, facing death and judgment. We'll all stand before God. Either you're going to stand there and you're going to say, "Look what I done. Got on my new suit." Somebody told me outside a while ago, "This is a pretty suit, right?" I'll say, "Look, Lord, I got a pretty suit." He'd say, "Uh-huh. What about?" And he'll go naming off all them things I done. Or I can stand before God and I'd say, "I'm standing here in Jesus' righteousness." The Bible says that Jesus took our sins and exchanged them and clothed us with His righteousness. When God looks at us after we accept Jesus, He's looking at Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? It's not what we did or who we were. It's who we've become in Christ Jesus. That is the hope that we have. Now, so you can either live your way and be standing before God on your own, defending the life that you've lived, or B, you can live God's new way. You can submit to Jesus as your ruler. You can rely on Jesus' death. He died in your place. He was raised to show that you can have a new life. That results, you're forgiven by God. You come into a relationship with God while on this earth and throughout eternity, and you're given a new life. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." It's this simple. If you believe Jesus, come to this earth and lived the life you should have lived. You confess that, and then you say, and I know I've not lived life God's way. Jesus died the death I deserve. And you say, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me and take control of my life. Look what it says. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abiding on him. You can't have Jesus as Savior and not have him as Lord. So you have to choose. What will you do? Will you live your way or God's way? And that's the message that I want you to share. I'm challenging you today as we close. Share the gospel, this simple message. Take this card with you. Share it with somebody between now and Christmas. You say, well, I don't know nobody. Well, you got to have at least one friend. Well, they already saved. Well, practice. Amen. The most important thing you'll ever do is share the gospel. When you feel really down and things is not going good, go tell somebody about Jesus. It'll make you forget about your crisis because you'll be focused on our Christ. Let's bow our heads. Most important thing I can ask you this morning, first of all, is have you been living your way or God's way? If you know you've not been living the life that God wants you to, it's this simple. You just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've not lived under your rule. I believe Jesus come and lived the life that I should have, died the death I deserved, was buried. I believe he was raised to show that my sins are paid for. Jesus, I'm asking you this morning to forgive me and take control of my life. Help me live the rest of my life pleasing to you. If you prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. If you've been a Christian a long time, my question is, are you excited to know that God's in control? Are you excited enough to share with someone that is lost or someone that might be down in the valley? Will you go to them and say, I want to show you something. Look what the Bible says. God's still in control. Let them know that God created everything. That because of our rebellion, we separate ourselves from him. But he's made a way through Jesus Christ that he can restore our relationship and we can live happily ever after. Kind Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for this message. We thank you that you're such a loving ruler that, Lord, you wouldn't allow us to stay in our sins. You sent the Lord Jesus to die for our sins, to give us new life. And then, Lord, you give us your Holy Spirit. It enables us to stay under your rule and to follow your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Savior lives.
our newborn baby, and feel the pride and joy they bring. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know,
yes, I know,
he holds the future. My life is worth the living,
just
because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know the old rugged cross.
trophies at last I lay down. I will cling.
If you don't know this Savior we're talking about, please reach out to Him. Whether you want to raise your hand in the back, or seated, stand, or come to the altar, you'll never regret it. It'll be a ticket you're glad to have one day. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory. So much for letting us come be with you today, and I hope you've been uplifted in some way, exhorted, reassured that faith in Jesus Christ is not a waste of time, but it's a ticket on that train to glory, where we'll be with Him one day, and He paid the price. God bless you guys.
Amen.
Brother Wesley, I'd like to say something before you come.
Yes, sir.
I've had this group for about 9 years, I think, but I've been traveling, singing Southern gospel music for 54 years, and I have dealt with a lot of pastors. This man right here is, and I'm not trying to pin roses on him. I'm just telling you what I feel in my heart. He is one of the best men I ever met in my life. I have never met a pastor that was so humble and loved people like he loves. And I know that I know the church loves him. I don't know what you're paying him, but you need to give him a raise. Brother Wesley, we love you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much. One thing I admired about him is every time, and we've talked, I don't know, half a dozen times in the last couple of weeks, he always ends with prayer. And that means a lot to a group that travels up and down the road. Some pastors won't hardly give you the time of day, but this man takes up time to let you know he loves you, and he's in business for God, and that's what it's all about. Thank you so much for letting us come and be with you. Hope it don't be too awful long before we come back. Just that'll depend on Pastor. And I'm not saying that, brother, to try to get you to bring us back. God opens the doors and all. I've talked to some groups, and I talked to one group yesterday, and they're pretty semi-professional groups, been singing for years. Said, we don't have anything scheduled next year. And I'm not saying this bragging, but I'm bragging on God. Right now, this group has like 23 bookings already scheduled to follow this fall coming year. God is using us. He's sending us all places. We're going into Florida this year. We've never been into Florida, but we're going into Florida for 2 weekends. But would you pray for us that God will anoint us?
Amen.
Anoint us. When I stand up here and I say something, I want to say exactly what God wants me to say, not what I want to say. My pastor preached a sermon last Sunday morning and says, when you're on behind this pulpit and you start saying me, 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 you're in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be up here. But when you start saying God, he's the one. He's the only one. He is the only one. We love y'all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Benny. Y'all give him a hand. And y'all do, keep them lifted up in prayer. And I've mentioned this before, but just so you'll know, you know, we've not been able to go on mission trips and things and because of COVID, but we've been bringing groups in like Brother Benny and Brother Kyle and Brother Kathleen, and we bring them in and then we send them back out to take the gospel message. So pray for them. They're going out into the mission field. I want to just tell you, I know I was going kind of fast, but I was trying to get through that. And I've got these down here that I drew these things in. If you want to pick one of these up, you come get them or see me. This is not just something I wanted to do to get through with 40 minutes or 33 minutes or ever how long it took me to do that. I want you to think about this. When you're watching the news or whatever show you like watching and you're getting all upset because the world's just going crazy, turn off the TV and take this. And I'm old school, right? I do have smartphone and stuff, but I'm old school. Write this out. Draw the picture and write it out. And practice. And then ask the Lord, give me somebody to share this with tomorrow. Because the world is really messed up. Amen. The offering buckets is front and back. I forgot to mention this about the termites. I sent out an email. We are taking up special collection to take care of some termites. Good news is the Lord sent the inspection out here and they found it early. But the bad news is it's going to be $4,500 to drill the holes in the foundation because they're not yet in the wood. They're getting on the wood, but they're coming up inside the block. So we got to treat inside that foundation back there. So we're taking up, we're going to go ahead and get it done before we cause more damage. But we're going to take up offerings, special offerings for that. So if you want to donate specifically to the repairs and the treatment, just write termite on the check or on the offering envelope or whatever, and we'll make sure it goes to that. Emmaus, our Spanish congregation, they're taking up a love offering too to help with that, just so you'll know what all is going on here in the church. Thank y'all. Are all hearts clear before we close? Kind Father, we thank you for this blessed day, Lord God. We thank you that we've got visitors here today. We've got just regular folks and that's been coming a long time. We've got people that's been visiting us this year and the last few months. We thank you for all of them. I thank you for each one of them because our service would have not been what it is today without everyone here. Thank you for Palmetto Street Praise, Lord. I pray as they leave here, you'll bless them, bless their travels, bless them as they go into Florida with the gospel through music. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with each one of us. And Lord, put a boldness in our hearts to speak truth. Lord, let us tell people the bad news that, Lord, we all rejected you. The good news that Jesus died for us. And the better news, we can live a new life under your rule. Lord, let us share that with someone this week. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Thank y'all for coming.